Welcome to episode 322 of the official Game Stitch podcast. I'm Ryan Walton, and as always, I'm joined by Dan Reamer.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Woo, look at us getting festive up in here.
Woo, woo. Get your drink on.
Get your green leprechaun on.
Some green beer and some shepherd's pie. Call it a day.
Ooh, I love shepherd's pie.
I do too. I will eat the shit out of shepherd's pie.
I don't eat proper shepherd's pie, but I like shepherd's pie.
So what do you, what do you eat then?
Well, I don't like mushroom.
Oh, you don't like the mushroom gravy.
Right. So I have to substitute.
Okay.
But I'm a big fan. Like just those pictures right there. Also producer Gerald in the house. Those pictures he's got pulled up. I want to stop this recording.
And go eat some.
And go eat shepherd's pie.
Corned beef and cabbage is another good one. I'm actually going to get some today. A friend of ours is making some.
So I had that, did that two nights ago, and then did Reuben's the next night.
I had a Reuben last night, yes.
Now, I also don't eat a proper Reuben because I don't like rye bread.
You don't like rye bread?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so what I eat are variations of proper food all the time because I don't like a component.
You're not alone, my friend, I suppose, but
which to me is still like, I'll just say I had a Reuben, but if you're around an asshole,
it's not a Reuben.
Like, it's not a Reuben if it's not on rye bread,
which is true. I'm with that guy. So I'm with that asshole. I agree with that asshole.
Yeah, but what I don't want to do is go, so I had a sandwich last night. It was like bread, and you know, I don't want to explain every component of them. Go, oh, so it's a Reuben without the bread, without the right bread.
It's a Reuben with regular bread. Or right. Reuben without the rye or whatever.
That's how I explain it. But then they're like, well, it's not really a Reuben if you didn't have rye bread. And it's like, I don't know a better way to explain it, because if I told you all the things that made up the sandwich I had, you would then say, oh, that's just a Reuben without the rye bread. So I'm stuck.
I agree. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I know what you're saying. It can be tough. It's tough living in the world today.
It is. It's a hard place to be in.
It is.
I just like I love a Reuben. I just don't like rye bread. I don't like rye bread on anything.
That is so weird. I love rye bread. Like, rye bread is my favorite bread. If I had a favorite bread, it would be sourdough. And then after sourdough, would be pumpernickel. Or it would be some pumpernickel rye.
Sourdough is the correct bread for anything.
Sourdough is so good.
Sourdough is a bread that knows it's good.
Mm-hmm. It's the best toast bread, too, without a doubt.
So that's what I had my Reuben on.
Sourdough?
Sourdough.
I can work with that.
It was incredible.
It's not a Reuben, though.
It's true. It's true. It was corned beef. It was a little bit of sauerkraut. It had some Thousand Island dressing on it. You know? It was sort of like a popular sandwich that people sometimes talk about.
I just wanted to be that asshole. That's all.
Hey,
mission accomplished.
You're definitely. I'm in the minority by switching it up because people love to correct me.
I don't care. I mean, you know what? I get it. It's kind of like how people call, you know, all of the little square papers with a glue strip on them. They all call them Post-its. Post-its is a brand. Right. But you call them Post-its. It's kind of the same thing. It's easier to say a Reuben, regardless of the fact that you changed up one. Like, even if you had it without sauerkraut, if you had corned beef and...
You said a corned beef sandwich.
Yeah. On pumpernickel, you might go as far as to call that a Reuben. Again, you'll have the people who call you out and go, if it doesn't have sauerkraut, it's not a Reuben. But same concept of what you're speaking of.
Because no one's going to be like mini adhesive back notepaper.
Right. Right.
Because you can't even say sticky notes, because that's a brand as well.
Like the iPod. Remember the iPod? Every music player was an iPod, even if it wasn't made by Apple.
Yeah. I mean, Q-tips, Weed Eater, those examples are everywhere.
Yes.
Jeep is anything that'll fucking sort of go off-road that you can take the top off of.
Kind of. Yeah.
I hear people talking about the Geo trackers, and they're like, a little Jeep. It's like, nope.
Not much of Geo. That's a GM product.
Yeah.
They don't
let me tell you, they are not the same.
Nope, they are completely different. Those trackers are garbage.
I want one real bad. They are, though.
I want one of those. I had one years and years and years ago. I want a Suzuki Samurai.
My dad had one growing up. It was a big piece of shit, but I remember it fondly now.
They are so much fun, though.
It was a piece of shit. And I hated it growing up with it, but I do remember it fondly now. So those Geo Trackers, they're not bad. Look at that yellow one with the top down, that topless yellow one.
Yeah, that's
oh, somebody
bad.
Jurassic Parked that one up. Let me get that Jurassic Park.
They're
one.
Not as cool as the Suzuki Samurai, though.
That's true.
Suzuki Samurai
right,
is cooler.
Row, third row now. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that looks good. You're right, though. Let's get a Suzuki Samurai picture up.
The Suzuki Samurais are so much better.
Have you ever seen the Suzuki X90s?
I feel like I have, but I can't place it. It seems
it's like they
familiar.
Tried to make a new one that was a like a coupe. So let's look at the Samurai. Then I want to show you this X90. Look how good that looks.
Yeah.
I like that forest green one in the middle.
Tell me that doesn't... I mean, that you can get away with saying, oh, it's a Jeep. Because people
don't... You
know
what they remind me of? They remind me of like miniature G-Wagons if you get the hardtop.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, those things were not safe, but boy, they were a lot of fun.
He's pulled up the fancy Chevy Tracker when they dropped the...
Geo.
Yeah. Let's get a Suzuki X90 and then we'll move on with this thing.
Okay.
I want you to see this.
That's spelled X90 for Producer Gerald.
Yeah.
There you go.
My dad really wanted one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, see them? They're like they tried to make a new one, but it just didn't hit.
Yeah. Well, that's like this, what is it, the Subaru Baja, which is essentially an El Camino?
Yeah. How do you feel about that? You're into El Caminos.
I did like the Baja, but it was never an El Camino.
People really like
their Subaru products.
Subarus, yeah. Subaru is a lifestyle brand.
They are a good car. They are. There it is, that yellow one. I like those.
That
yellow
one's the one that I always see, too. There's like two yellow ones in Clarksville and a maroon one.
Yeah, those yellow ones are nice.
No one took that to the beach ever, though.
No. It is all-wheel drive, though. It is all-wheel drive.
Yeah, but I have a problem with that stock photo. No one took that to the beach. There you go.
Look at that bad boy. The lifted Baja. Good Lord. Got some 27s on there. Jesus.
Some Mickey Thompsons. Oh, look at the tracks.
Oh, man, tracks.
That looks good.
Boy, I need more time and money.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. It's all about classic cars that aren't classics. It's about Suzuki Samurais and other Jeeps.
Breads.
Welcome to the Breadcast.
The Breadcast.
Yeah. Tell you, people that make bread, they get deep.
Right. This is our gluten minute with Ryan and Dan.
It needs a better name, but I'm not against it.
It's got to have gluten in it because we got to be anti the gluten.
Anti non-gluten. I get you.
Yeah, there's a gluten fad. I'm gluten. Yeah. I'm allergic to gluten. No, you're fucking not.
Yeah, you're a douchebag.
You're a dick. You read about it in some fucking magazine, and now you're on the bandwagon. Shut the fuck up.
The same person with a gluten issue is the same person correcting me on the rumen. Same person.
No, not necessarily.
I'll tell you why I have a
the
problem
Reuben
with
could
it.
Be like a English slash grammar.
Well, let me tell you why I have a problem with it. The only reason they know it wasn't a proper Reuben to start with is because I acknowledge the fact that I understand it's not.
Right. No, I get that. Like, I gave you all the information to let you know that it's not this, but this is what I call it. You don't have to call me out again. I've already done that.
Right. I could have just said I had a Reuben and we could have went on about our life.
So it's not that they're talking about it being not a Reuben. It's more about the fact that, look, I'm anti-repetition, and we've already covered this topic.
Well, if I said, hey, I had a Reuben, they're like, oh, yeah, where do you get your bread from? I'm like, I just use sourdough. And they're like, hey, well, that's not a Reuben. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've given you the knowledge that I understand I didn't have an actual Reuben, but I have what I call a Reuben because that's the closest thing to it.
Right.
That I will ever put in my body mouth. So.
That's fair.
I hate those people.
Look at that little cake Reuben thing. Why do you have a gluten-free Reuben pie up? Producer Gerald, you're fired.
What about the gluten glutton?
A vegan Reuben isn't even a goddamn thing. Stop it.
A vegan anything isn't a thing.
Stop it. Do you see the 3D printed steaks they make in China or Japan or something? They look so gross. No,
that's super gross, though. I would be willing to try one of those Impossible Burgers. People seem to really like those.
Well, I've never even heard of that.
I think that's what it's called.
Impossible Burger?
That's super gross. Yeah, check Impossible Burgers. See if that's... I think that's what they're called. Apparently, they're so good. They're like real meat. And apparently, like, they almost like bleed when you're like... when they're raw. Like, it's like a real... It's the full experience. Yeah, the Impossible Burger.
And what is it? It's meat-free, though?
Mm-hmm. It's Let's a get vegan... that second one that says the Impossible Burger.
It's a vegan burger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see it?
What is it made out of?
I don't know. Grass.
I don't have any room in my life for vegan anything.
It's plant-based for sure.
I realize that that's a big trend now and all this, but no, I'll just keep shoving meat down my maw.
I'll tell you the problem I have is if you've ever gone to the market, the grocery store, whatever you prefer to call it, and you've seen vegan cheese, you know that this isn't a road you can go down.
Yeah, no
shit. Because there is something wrong with the visual appearance of that cheese.
There is something wrong with the visual appearance of most vegan products.
That vegan cheese, I'm like, you're not going to piss my down my back and tell me it's rain.
Yeah, my wife tries to eat healthy, and so she gets the spaghetti squash and does a thing where it's like, look, it's like, no, look, it's just like spaghetti. And I'm like, no, it's not.
Mm-mm. It's like squash.
It's fucking squash.
Now, would you call that spaghetti then the next day?
No. Right. See? See? Now we're there. Yeah. That's the problem.
You had squash with spaghetti sauce on top of it.
Yes.
It's interesting. Food is interesting.
Hold on. I think I got to let my cat. Can you hear my cat meowing?
Yeah, I hear your cat for sure.
Cat too. I think I need to let him in because he's being a little bitch.
While you do that, I'm going to move the show forward.
Okay.
If this is your first time here, welcome. Each and every week, Dan and I get together with the help of producer Gerald, and we talk about video games, we talk about life, we talk about whatever, because it's our show. We don't have a boss. We don't have anybody telling us no. We don't have a corporation tied to us. So we just get on here and we freestyle for a bit. We have some news we get to each and every week. So if it's your first time here, sometimes it takes a little while to get us going. Because we got to chat about life. The cat's in. A quick update on the cat. Cat made it in. Cat wanted in bad.
Uh-huh.
So this show posts each and every Monday, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on podcast services around the world, around the globe even. We're international.
We're nationwide.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide. I like world. Globe-wide. Nobody says that, but they
nobody
should.
Says globe-wide or sphere-wide or earth-wide. It's always...
coaster-wide.
Yeah, it's always... You know.
That was a flat earth reference.
I don't know
if you called it or not. You usually get upset. I wanted to make sure you heard that one.
I don't have time for that. I don't have time to deal with flat earthers.
But yeah, anyways, if you love the show, support us over at patreon.com/GameStitches. Several of you do, and we appreciate that. It means the world to us. If you can't support us financially, support us with your mouth holes and tell people about us. You know, that's not too much to ask.
It's not. It's very little to ask, actually.
See, that... I just have a problem with all of this.
No kidding.
He's got... Producer Gerald has a flat earth image pulled up. We've talked about it before on the show. We just can't go down this road. It's just not... make sense.
Have you seen the picture? I saw this thing where there's like... It's basically like a poster of a map. And someone drew with a marker from Japan all the way around the land, like all the way around Africa, down around across the Atlantic Ocean, up to Hawaii, and used that as evidence that Pearl Harbor was a hoax. because there's no way planes could fly from that side of Japan all the way across the map over to Hawaii.
I can't even. Is that your image right there?
Well, there it is. Yes.
Look, they didn't even use the computer to draw the line. It's like a shitty line. Look at how it, like at the bottom, it's like super shitty looking.
Right. And let's say for a second, let's just say for a second that person like is on to something. All right. And some weird, right. There it is right there. What makes him think that the planes can't just fly over land?
Right. That's the best part is that someone has corrected it with a straight fucking line instead of whatever hoop this thing person drew. That looks like a shitty handsaw, hacksaw.
It's the best. It does look like a hacksaw now.
Which is also the last option if I'm ever sawing anything.
A hacksaw, it works good for tubular metals.
I'm like, how can I get this stuck in the middle and then eventually break it? That's me in a hacksaw.
Well, sometimes you got to just go one way.
I like that one. Look at that one. That one makes me happy. That's someone who's like, I want to watch the world burn right there. Just drew squigglies to be a dick face. All right, let's jump into the games. There's kind of a lot of news. Well, we should talk about what we played first.
Yeah, what'd you play?
I don't remember how the show goes anymore.
No, oh my God.
So this should be my last week should have been my last like real busy work week for a bit.
Mm.
Things should start to calm down now. So I did, didn't play as much as normal, but I played more Rocket League. I've reached level 200 on the Rocket Pass. I was lucky enough to get to jump in with Thomas and his lovely wife and play some Stardew Valley on the Switch for a short time. A little more Everybody's Golf. And still playing the shit out of that Merge Dragons game on my phone. I think that's really it, though.
Well, I had a pretty heavy play week, you could say. But I didn't play a lot of things. I think I jumped in on Rocket League one night and played a couple hours. Probably. Does that seem right?
Yeah.
Just the one night. And the rest of my time was spent playing the Division 2. So, you know, because that came up for me on Monday, and then I had to do the, you know, 1,000 gigabyte update that takes 47 days. And so I picked it up at 9 o'clock on Monday night, and I finally got to play it when I got home from work on Tuesday. And I just been running through that ever since. Fucking love it. I played for a total of 26 hours and some change. Which is a lot for me. But it's Division 2 has fixed a lot of the problems that the first Division had with launch. And it's just a really, really awesome world to be in. If you are on the fence about it, I definitely suggest you grab it and pick it up and try it.
Now, you like to play initially as a single player game.
Well, I do. See, here's the thing is there is a lot of squad. You can do the whole thing as a squad or with co-op people. But when I'm playing the single player aspects of these games, I like to run through them on my own terms, on my own way. I don't want to miss anything of the story. And sometimes when you're playing with other people, you miss that because you're jumping around to what they need to do and what you need to do. And this way I can play, determine my own linear fashion and go through it. So I play the story aspect of things. I play it solo, and then I'll jump in and I'll squad up for Dark Zone, end game, stuff like that, weeklies, dailies, strongholds, all that good stuff.
I bring that up so that if you're out there listening and you think, I would like to play this, but I don't have people to play with, I think you could still enjoy yourself without ever playing with anybody.
You can still enjoy it without playing with anybody. But once you get into endgame and probably some of the higher tiers even possible in single player, you're going to want to team up. You're going to want to squad up. There are some cool... One of the really cool aspects of this game that they didn't do in Division 1 is say you're in a spot and you're having a tough time. You know, you just keep dying. You can actually push a button and it's a call for help. So everybody who's in that server... Basically, you send a call to help, and they can jump into your game. And you'll get a call for help, and you can answer the call, and you'll jump into somebody else's game. I did try that just for the trophy to see how it worked, how it played. And once you jump in there, it keeps levels close, but it also scales the enemies to an average of the two levels. So say you're a level 11, you jump into a level 14, your enemies are going to be 12s and 13s. So it does a good job of that. But it's a really neat addition to the game, the answer the call aspect. And I don't do it very much. I think I did it once just to see how it worked, maybe twice. And I don't call for help at all because, damn it, I'm a grown man. I don't need help. I just power through, and I die a bunch of times till I figure out the right strategy and the right tactical usage of my equipment, and eventually end up winning it. So I'm fucking loving it. I got a couple more days of play. Then I'm going on vacation for 4 days. So I'm super looking forward to vacation, but I'm also, there's a little part of me that's not, because it wants to stay home and play Division. So there's that. But I'm once again back on the Division train, all in.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I mean, I tried the first one, didn't work for me, and I'm not going to pick this one up, but I think it looks awesome, and it's getting awesome reviews out there. So even if you're worried about plans, you know, with a group, I think you'd be fine to pick this up and still have $60 worth of fun.
And if you do want to play with a group, I mean, there's plenty of options to do so.
Some people just hate multiplayer, though. So
some people do. Some people only see. When I played the first Division, I barely ever played with anyone I knew. I was always matchmaking, jumping into a group somewhere, and it's really the only game that I do that kind of thing at. And it worked out super good, super well. I had a great time. I've got some friends that are playing the Division 2, so hopefully we'll be able to jump in. But I think pretty much from what I've seen, I have some hardcore friends that I played the Division 1 with, and most of them are also doing like I do. They're going through the story single player, just by themselves. And I've also got some friends that have come on that are a little new to it that are trying it out and falling in love with it, so... we'll see what happens once we get closer, but really, there, when you're playing singles, I just play the single player. I'm not against squadding up once it comes on later on, but when I'm playing the single player, you know, I'll squad up to make a run through the dark zone. Hey, that's cool. I can take a break from the story and run through the dark zone. You definitely want to squad for that, but as far as just playing the story, I tend to do that single player all by myself and then squad up for end game, so...
I forgot that I also played NASCAR Heat 3 one of the nights this week. It was really fun. It was good. I enjoy that game for what it is. It's a good time. Howard and I jumped in and we played online against some other folks, and it's just fun. It's just silly. I think I gave him a shout out whenever he gave that game to me, and it's super fun to get in there with him, and he takes it serious, but not so serious that he drives like in a correct fashion.
Right.
So we can still have fun. Like, I mean, he'll take me out on the last lap to win. He doesn't care.
Right. I know.
And I appreciate that about him. Cause it's just carnage out there. It's just everybody wrecking all the time and cars flipping, and it's super fun for that purpose. If you took it super serious, I don't know that I would enjoy it.
Yeah, you're not into that.
We also jumped in Rocket League and got in the most absurd cars we could get in, and we were destroying folks.
Really?
Yes.
What you guys playing?
Everything. There's a fun picture that I might even tweet out. That's how fun it is, of him and I both in Scarabs, matching Scarabs, which is the car that looks like a ball.
Yeah.
We're in matching Scarabs, and... you can see my stats. I picked up 96 boost pads, and I had 15 shots.
Oh my god!
In that car, and we beat the guys we played like 9-1 or something.
How's that car control?
Like shit. And one of the guys that we were destroying messaged in the chat, "I can't believe we're losing to two testicles." Which I cried. I laughed so hard. I mean, we were playing out of our mind in those stupid cars. We also played in. I played in the Backfire and he played in the Bone Shaker too, and we looked like two assholes out there driving those, and we also we didn't lose a game playing in silly cars.
Wow.
It was fun, and it's nice to not always take that game so serious.
So did he let me ask you this. Did the old Marshall 205, did he jump in the van? Because he hates the van.
No, but I think we're going to keep doing this every now and then, so I think eventually we're going to get wins in all the cars.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys got it going on, huh?
Yeah.
What are we looking at? So.
Apparently my last tweet was that about the PlayStation Classic, so I should tweet something just to get that off the fucking top.
Yeah, because it ends up being garbage, right?
Yeah,
I can't you get it for like $19 now or something?
Yeah, you can get it cheap for sure. All right, let's jump into the news.
It's a big time news.
Big time news.
Big time news.
Microsoft announced Xbox Live for iOS and Android devices in a full on fashion.
Yeah, this is kind of the road Microsoft seems to be going down. So.
Yeah, here's the thing. If they're getting this out of the way now, mm-hmm. there's some shit coming.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's pretty cool. So they revealed more information about the Xbox Live for Android and iOS support on mobile devices that will be possible through the Xbox Live SDK, a new cross-platform mobile software development kit created by Microsoft. These comments are coming from... Now, this is a great title. Microsoft Gaming Cloud Chief. That definitely sounds like a Native American.
I want to be a cloud chief.
Yeah, I like that. He said in the briefing, according to The Verge, if you watch what we've done, especially with Minecraft over the past few years, we've taken Xbox Live to as many platforms as Minecraft. Really uniting those communities together in a consistent, singular experience for those gamers. And while I think that's true, Minecraft was the perfect game to do that with.
Right.
You know, they showed proof of concept with a passionate community and a game that will probably live forever. So now the goal is to make that happen with everything. So as of right now, Microsoft Studios is the only thing supporting it, but they're making this SDK available so that all games
for
the future will work this way.
Yep.
He also made a comment that he would love to see Xbox Live running on a Switch and a PS4, uniting the 2 billion gamers out there.
Yeah, he would. I'm sure. Can't do that, though.
You could probably do one of those.
Yeah, the other one we can't because we got to look out for the safety of our children.
Yeah, last thing I want are kids being unsafe.
Right.
Now... I'll take this moment. First off, cool move, Microsoft. Good job. Mm-hmm. Put it in as many places as you can. I ain't mad at you. You're saying I can get achievements on my iPhone? That's pretty cool. Here's what I think is going to happen with Sony. I don't know a better place to throw this in there, so I'll just put it in there right now.
Okay.
Because people are not happy about this PlayStation Plus situation. I think that PlayStation Now will be a part of PlayStation Plus really soon.
You think so?
In an answer to Game Pass. So the price will not increase what you're paying now for PlayStation Plus, and it will incorporate a PlayStation Now inside it, and you will still continue to get just two games a month. That's my prediction. Just want to throw it out there.
I think if they do it, I think you will see a price. I think you see the price go up a little bit. What is it?
$60 for a year for Plus. And then...
Yeah, and how much for now? Is it 20? 10?
It's like $14.99 or something a month,
I think you'll see PlayStation go up like $10 a month and incorporate PS Now. If they incorporate PS Now, I think you're going to see it go up probably around $10 a month.
I don't think it's going to go up at all, and I think this is their answer to... Let's see if we can get a proper price on it, because we may be way off. I think this is going to... be their answer to Game Pass and to Microsoft's push to be a service leader.
Yeah, I know, but do you think that they can Sony can afford to give away essentially PS Now for free?
To keep their player base, they can. So it's $100 for 12 months or $20 a month.
Yeah. Okay. So I still think you see it maybe go up by $10 and incorporate that.
Maybe they just do two tiers of plus. Maybe they do a plus and a plus plus.
That could be too.
Plus pro. They'll call it a pro. Plus pro. They're going to find a way to affordably get this to people, and I think it'll work. But they got to get some newer games up there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the problem is PS Now just doesn't seem as appealing to me when I look through the games.
That's the problem. Like, wow. It's got way more games. I don't need to play any 600 plus games.
It does, but I look at every single one of them, I'm like, wow, I don't need to play any of these.
Yeah. There's nothing. I mean, the newest game on there is, like, I still think Bloodborne.
Yeah. And it's whereas Microsoft's taking the other route. Every new game that our studio releases is out.
The problem with that is they're not releasing. Sony's not going to give you Spider-Man.
No.
Like, they're just not, because they're releasing incredible experiences. And Microsoft's last release is Crackdown 3.
Yeah.
You know, they're not putting out the same caliber games.
They're not.
And I don't know that Microsoft keeps this vision if they're cranking out fucking amazing experiences. You know, I love Sea of Thieves. That game's dead without Game Pass.
That's true. That's very true.
It would have been dead on arrival without Game Pass. Now I think it has an audience and it'll live either way, but before it would not have.
Not without Game Pass, no. I agree with you. Yeah. Microsoft is... they almost seem to be scaling back on, like, their AAA style titles. They're still going to have the few. You know, they're going to have the Halos. They're going to have the Gears. But they're almost scaling back on some of those experiences and putting the money into incorporating them into all these other services.
You know, they bought 27 studios, and I think the idea is to pump out, like, AA style games quickly.
Yes.
Let's fill up Game Pass.
Yep. Let's get new stuff on there. You know, just toss them in there. Make a game and throw it on there.
And Gerald's got this pulled up, so it's a good time to throw this out there. I keep hearing people say Plus isn't worth it for two games. Plus is not. I mean, the games are included. You're paying for cloud storage and the ability to play online.
Right.
So people need to realize what Plus is. The games are just a benefit.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is calm down.
Added bonus. That's it.
Calm down. Next story, Google. So we talked about them potentially revealing whatever's next for them at GDC. And they have doubled down on that by releasing a teaser trailer. Have you seen this trailer?
I have not.
You haven't missed anything. It just shows... It's sort of like you're in a tunnel, and it just shows different spaces that appear to be in a video game, and it zooms through them. It doesn't really show you anything, but they have placed a time and place on it. It is March 19th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
So that's Tuesday.
Yeah, so see, it's like spaces like this, and it just keeps zooming through them. There's like a garage and like a factory type setting and like a cave full of mushrooms, and it's just zooming through them.
And these are supposed to be different environments that you play in video games?
They look like typical video game environments.
Yeah.
That cave one actually looks like No Man's Sky. Followed by that door opening, but I don't know. But I'm excited for whatever this is.
More competition is always good. But it's, you know, Google are typically known as innovators.
The problem is Google is an innovator and a quitter.
Yes.
So it's hard to say, because if a project does not live up to, standards maybe is the right word. I don't know. Expectations. They just quit.
Right.
They will pull the plug on an idea as quick as anyone I've seen.
They will.
I mean, look at the hype behind Google Glass and how quickly they just stopped that.
You're right. They just wiped it off the map when it wasn't what they thought it should be.
And they do that with a lot of projects. So I think it's still a streaming box is what I think this is. I think Project Stream, the test for it, I think that's all this is a streaming box. But I think it's probably going to be one that works very well. And if I know we talked about it, but if they can hit the form factor of something similar to a Chromecast,
yeah,
So I just need to grab a controller and a Chromecast. That's gonna be pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're on to something. I also think it's very telling to add to the news, Google recently hired Jade Raymond as the vice president. Those of you that think you may have heard her name before, she used to be a boss at Ubisoft and EA, so she knows gaming. I think that's very telling that they brought her in as vice president. She's probably going to be involved with this gaming system somehow.
She's probably not there to work on the browser.
Right. Exactly. She's
probably not she's probably not there for search engine optimization.
Right, right. Or the new Google Glass. She's probably there to run this video game, whatever it is.
It's interesting. I'm excited about that announcement. I'll be watching.
Yeah, it will be very interesting to see what it is and what Google tries to do with it.
You know, it could just be, it may not even be a box. It may just be like, here's a controller, and our console is every Chromebook that exists.
Yeah.
It runs in your browser. All you need is a shitty internet connection, and it'll still work. But I hope that they have a component that I can just plug right into an HDMI that is like a Chromecast. Maybe it is just a Chromecast. Maybe you go buy a $39 Chromecast, and it's also a whatever they decide to call this player. You pay a subscription or you buy the games. I don't know how it'll work, and you have the ability to stream them. I don't know. It's going to be cool, and if it's not crazy expensive and it looks neat, I will do it.
Poor Sega Channel lost out.
Poor Ouya.
Poor Ouya. What was the other one? There was another one that was like a box you plugged in and had all the games.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. It had that weird square controller.
Yeah, yeah.
The game stick.
Was it Game Stick?
Right. Yeah, see if Game Stick is right.
I can't remember what it was.
I think it's called Game Stick with a K.
Possibly. Wasn't
like
there
Mortal
like
a Kombat?
I feel like there was another unit that would like it started with a U. What the fuck was it?
Search for Game Stick with a K.
I think.
That's showing off like a bunch of Steam links. I don't know why.
That's another little something that went nowhere. Was a.
There's the Game Stick.
There's the Game Stick.
Yeah, and it just had the USB style dongle that's HDMI that plugged right into your TV.
Yeah,
the controllers suck though.
There was something else I'm thinking of too, but I can't remember the name of it for my life.
Yeah. While we're talking about it, Steam Link just announced that you'll be able to play from anywhere. So right now it had to be over a local network. Now you'll be able to access your Steam Link from any wireless network.
Yes.
So it's kind of a big deal there, especially considering Steam Links were selling for $5 like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, that's another thing that ever took off was that remember the Steam Machine, remember?
Oh, the Steam Box, yeah.
Steam Box, that never went where it was supposed to go. It's
I wanted that
too,
Alienware one.
Yeah, because that was a cool little idea.
This OnLive, is that what you're trying to think of earlier?
OnLive, that's the one, yes.
OnLive?
OnLive.
People tried it, but now maybe it's finally time because people are more accepting of the idea.
Poor OnLive, way ahead of your time, guys. Sorry.
It also looks like Gearbox is getting ready to announce Borderlands 3.
B3.
Anyone who's followed Borderlands or Gearbox in the news knows that they need a good distraction after the bizarre going-ons with Randy Pitchford. We didn't talk about him on here, but there is some bizarre things happening.
Without a doubt. It definitely looks like a Borderlands game.
This definitely does look like a Borderlands game. They showed a sign with a 3 on it, announcement at PAX, and then they showed some art that looks... See, there's a sign. It says Exit 3, March 28th, Boston, Mass. It definitely has a Borderlands vibe. And then they showed another pixelated picture that definitely looks like a Borderland style image. So,
yep, definitely think you're going to end up seeing Borderlands 3. They're going to be announcing it for long.
Yeah, so for those unfamiliar, Randy Pitchford left a thumb drive the story's complicated. Basically, he got accused of, like, weird sex parties at his house in the theater that he has there. Then he left a thumb drive at a restaurant at a medieval times of all places. That contained, like, company documents that he should not have on a thumb drive, along with one porn video of a lady doing what he referred to as a magic trick. He's very into magic.
He
claimed that he had it for magical purposes, not for entertainment purposes.
Which, you know what?
Just a Randy, super bizarre story.
Randy, just own it, dude. It's fine. It's the 21st century.
My
Everybody's
thing about
got their
this whole
weird thing.
Thing
that they're into. Just go with it, man. Roll with it.
I got to find this quote from him. It's so good. So basically, she was pushing fluids from her body.
Yes.
In
a magical fashion.
In what he considered to be a magical fashion. I think I've got it right here. This quote's super good. It was a cam girl.
Did you find it?
Not really. He wanted to discover her method, but the part of it is, he says she's not a porn star. She's a fucking magician. Those were his exact words. A fucking magician.
She is
you would have been way better off. So first off, never leave a thumb drive with secure company documents and porn at a medieval times.
Right.
That story sounds made up. It's so ridiculous.
To be fair, probably don't leave it at any restaurant.
Right, but if he'd have left it like Buffalo Wild Wings, you'd be like, well, that sucks. But like, why wouldn't you be in a medieval times? And just say I had some porn on there.
Yeah.
And the whole reason the porn got brought up is because someone tried to say that she was underage, and he's like, if she was, I wasn't aware. It's a barely legal cam site. You know, those exist, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Or her name was barely legal something or something like that. And I don't know. This is a disaster. And then someone who used to work there is suing him, saying he's got this like sex studio at his house and then the sex parties. And he said, well, it's all recorded. You can just see, and there's no sex parties. And I don't know. It's a mess. But anyways, now they're like, hey, Borderlands
3.
Look over here. Look at Borderlands. Don't look at my sex thumb drive. Look at Borderlands.
Sex thumb drive. That's going to be the name of my next band.
Sex thumb drive?
Sex thumb drive. It's a punk band. Post-punk.
I'm just going to call it sex drive.
Nah, sex drive's taken. There's already been a sex drive band.
Gerald might have found the quote. It's a woman who is masturbating.
And when she has some experience that appears as if she's having an orgasm, a huge amount of fluid comes out of her vagina.
So first of all, that is the most, like, non-sexual way I've ever heard that described.
Right.
That statement's super gross.
Isn't that generally referred to as a squirter?
Yeah. If he'd have said she was squirting, I'd be like, I'm listening, Randy. The way he described it sounded almost clinical, and I don't like that.
And then he goes on to say, this is not a sex worker. This is a fucking magician.
There you go.
Saying he had purchased one of her videos and put it on the USB. Some kid, an employee of the medieval times, discovered this memory stick, took it home, and accessed it because it was before we were password protecting.
Of course it was before we put passwords on something.
And discovered secrets of my company and future games in development, and also discovered the pornography. And it was barely legal porn. This girl's handle was only 18.
Oh, yeah. See, that's where it got misconstrued, in that she was younger.
Yes.
But then he went on a podcast to say that he was just trying to work out her method.
Method of squirting?
Yeah, it's so bizarre. So bizarre that...
Yeah, Randy, you're not making it easier for yourself, bud.
So anyway,
own it.
They're snapping their fingers. Look over here, Borderlands 3. PAX is a weird place to do it, but hey, let's whatever takes it off of medieval times in the memory stick.
Yeah, what an odd place, right? Who's
that's what made the story, like, somehow this story is so much better by the fact that he left it at a medieval times.
Somehow it's like pushed over the edge by that. It's like, okay, now it's fake.
Most normal people go to medieval times once in their entire life. If right. even.
Exactly.
Somehow I don't believe the first time he went, he left a memory stick there. Like, this is like a multiple trip situation.
And how long have you not been password protecting? We've all been doing it for 10 years.
And you're worth probably millions. Buy two flash drives, one for your porn and one for secure company documents, asshole. Jeez. Anyways, that's not the story. The story is Borderlands 3 probably getting announced at PAX to distract from this weird story that we just spent more time talking about.
Yeah.
And that we initially didn't talk about at all, so it just has already backfired. Oh, man. On a maybe a better note, I don't know. That's a pretty good note. No Man's Sky is teasing the next big update.
More content.
It's called Beyond. I gotta say, it's got me excited again. For a couple reasons. First off, I want to say everyone that shit on No Man's Sky, whether it was needed or not, should now reach back out to them and say good job.
Oh, without a doubt. Because
they could have just taken their dump truck full of money to the bank and forgot about this game.
They 180'd, though, completely.
They have continued and continued and continued to try to make this game what people wanted as well as what they wanted to make initially. And I don't know. I can't think of any recent time a game has launched to such disappointment
mm-hmm.
that a studio has just refused to give up on. I mean, games have launched, you know, For Honor had a lot of issues, but it was at least the game people thought it was. You know, Drive right. Club obviously had a lot of problems. Master Chief Collection, they've continued to work on that thing. They still don't have it right.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly right, I think. I don't know. It's just, to me, it's impressive what Hello Games and Sean Murray have done, because walking away was the obvious answer.
Yeah, counting your losses, counting your money, taking your losses and starting over.
Yeah, just taking your big fat sack of cash, making a new Joe Danger game, and just keep going.
But they didn't. They had a vision, and the original game wasn't that vision, and it wasn't the vision of the people, the consumers, and they have continued to make it grow and continued to make these updates and changes, and they are finally, I can't even tell you honestly if they are finished completing their vision, but they are definitely much, much closer.
Yeah, and I think kind of what's cool here is this new update is the really, it looks like it's mostly going to revolve around the multiplayer stuff.
Yes.
I think what he says is their roadmap had three updates they wanted to bring. They're going to roll those all into one, and they're going to call it the Beyond update
mm-hmm.
to make it more substantial. But the main thing they're going to focus on, it appears to be, is the multiplayer stuff. And they don't really go into
what it's going to be.
Right. And I've actually been going back and forth with Thomas, friend of the show, friend of ours, Thomas Barfield, about what this game looks like after mm-hmm. this update. They're basically saying they're going to make it easier to find people. But it gets complicated. You know, a hub world still brings up the problem of I'm going to my system, you're going to your system.
Right.
I don't know if there's going to be a hub world you can go to and partner up, and at that point I can travel, teleport to yours or to mine. What are the odds that some stranger still flies onto my planet? Like, that just isn't something that's really happening. You know, I don't know what this looks like, but I'm excited that they just keep on with this game, and I'm ready to play it again.
Here, well, I mean, one of the things that originally attracted me to No Man's Sky, and I'm worried that maybe all this multiplayer is going to take away from that, is to me it got the idea of being in space right. It's you. I mean, you're alone in the universe trying to find this out. That felt true to what space exploration would be.
Yeah. But I did have a blast playing with you guys.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fun.
Here's what they say about the first component of this. It will allow players to meet up and play together more easily. But the studio cautions that they do not consider this shift to an MMO, And I don't like their reasoning here is Sean Murray says MMOs require subscriptions. And that's not
true.
That's not completely true.
Look at Star Trek Online.
But for whatever reason.
That's
they're
free,
saying,
right?
Yeah, they're saying not an MMO. I don't know what this looks like. I think you're right that part of what makes it special is that you're playing at your pace, doing your thing. But also, it would be great to have other people, but Thomas made a great point. I don't want this to be Sea of Thieves.
Right.
I don't want my ship to get my base to get blown up every time I turn around. That doesn't sound appealing at all to me. I don't know. I'm excited. I never even checked out the Abyss, all the water stuff they've added. So, you know, now with a gap in what I'm playing, you know, if they get this out soon enough.
Might be a good time to step into it, is what you're saying?
I could see myself back into some No Man's Sky. No Mansky.
What is that, Gerald?
No man's. It's a monkey giving a thumbs up.
That's not like that monkey has a mustache.
The monkey has people eyes, too.
That is not a monkey.
Next story, PUBG creator, also known as Player Unknown, a.k.a. Brandon Green.
He's moving out.
Brendan Green, not Brandon Green. He announced on a letter in Twitter that he is going to change his role a little bit. While I'll remain as a consulting creative director on PUBG, development will be led by some other gentleman and the fantastic team that I've had the honor to work with over the past 3 years. They have some great things planned for this year, and I can't wait to share more with you very soon. Going forward, I will be based in Amsterdam rather than Seoul and focused on building out an entirely new division to focus on research and game development. Green went on to say he'll be exploring, experimenting, and creating new technologies, tools, pipelines, and gameplay. Those experiments could feed back into PUBG, or they could develop something entirely new. It is worth noting he is staying with the PUBG Corp. Bluehole.
He's just not working on Battlegrounds.
He won't be doing PUBG day to day.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably time for that. I don't know if PUBG has reached critical mass. And now it's about just keeping, if right now it's about retaining what they have, it probably isn't the best use of his time.
Right.
So, I don't know. You know, PUBG is one of those games that is credited with the revolution of the Battle Royale.
Battle Royale.
You know, I know people love to tell you how H1Z1 did it first, whatever. Nobody plays H1Z1. H1Z1 has also renamed itself, rebranded itself. It's not H1Z1 anymore. It's Z1.
So now it's just Z1.
Yeah.
Which means, I don't know. What did H1Z1 stand for?
I don't know.
What does Z1 stand for? Zombie 1?
I don't know. I didn't like H1Z1. I do like PUBG on the phone.
Yes, you've spoken about it a number of times.
Yeah, I do like that. If I was going to play a Battle Royale on the console, I assume it would be Fortnite. Though I am probably not going to. Speaking of Fortnite, all the dance lawsuits have been dropped for now. It's kind of an update on the story we talked about. It is good.
Human one, zombie one. That's what H1Z1 means.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Now it'll just be zombie one.
Now it'll just be zombie one.
So we talked about all the lawsuits. Alfonso, Backpack Kid, 2 Millie, Orange Shirt Kid.
Yeah, all these people
suing Fortnite for the dances that are in there. But it appears that the major three, Backpack Kid, Alfonso, and 2 Millie, have all dropped theirs, at least temporarily. And it's a result of the U.S. Supreme Court unanimously deciding to set in a separate case that a person cannot file a copyright infringement claim until the U.S. Copyright Office has granted or rejected the copyright application, none of which has happened for any of the people in this story. None of them have patents. They've all applied for them.
Right. None of them actually had any, and they were trying to say that without a copyright, there's no copyright.
Well, so I'll backtrack a little bit. Carlton, as I like to refer to him, he did attempt to copyright in December, but was denied in February because It was a simple routine that is not registerable as a choreographic work.
Right.
So he could, I guess, pursue, but the problem is, it's a tough argument when you come in and say, hey, that dance is mine, you guys owe me money, and they go, but it's not yours right here on paper.
Right.
So.
And not just that, but I don't understand how, wouldn't it be whoever produced the shows?
Definitely not his either way.
I mean, that seems to me that's how it would belong to the show, not
as
him.
As a result of this, two Millie Backpack Kid and Orange Shirt Kid have all also dropped their lawsuits against the company.
Is it just me, or does Backpack Kid look like King Joffrey from Game of Thrones?
Yeah, he does a little bit. I only know who that is because I've seen memes of them two next to each other. last month, Epic released a memorandum, also known as a memo, seeking to dismiss at least two Millie's lawsuits on the ground that no one can own a dance step.
AKA copyright law. Memo. There's the title. There's the show title.
I'm just wondering what asshole wrote this article and felt like they needed to use memorandum. Anyways, Epic wanted to dismiss the lawsuit, claiming that no one can own a dance step. Copyright law is clear that individual dance steps and simple dance routines are not protected by copyright law. You know, good for Fortnite. Good for Epic. Bad for Backpack Kid, Carlton, and the Orange Shirt Kid. I don't even know who that is.
And 2 Millie.
2 Millie. I only know who 2 Millie is because of this
because
lawsuit.
Because of Fortnite.
So... He ought to be sending a thank you letter.
Maybe not be suing. Maybe be thanking Fortnite for making you a somebody.
Maybe send him a memorandum to let him know how happy you are.
AKA memo.
I sent you a memorandum yesterday. Did you get that? No asshole.
That's right. No one ever says, oh, I'm sorry, didn't you get the memorandum?
It's always say that.
Awesome.
Here's a weird story. Everybody decided early last week that Sony was buying Take-Two.
He's so fucking weird.
In a cash deal because of apparently one misquoted analyst.
Yeah.
And what is a very, very weird story.
The whole thing from beginning to end is super weird.
Yeah, Market Watch reported that Wedbush Securities analyst Joel Kalina... Kulina said that Sony, yeah, whatever, that guy, is currently in advanced board level discussion to acquire Take-Two Interactive in a mostly cash deal. It turns out he's been bombarded since the comment, and he says, there is nothing behind this story that I've seen. No one has found a source. Market chatter refers to what I hear on trading desk happens daily. Just more surprised this has gone viral like it is. And he went on to say that this was actually like a misrepresentation of what he actually said.
Yeah.
That he was misquoted. And everyone needs to calm down because he does not have any information that this is actually a thing. That didn't keep stock prices from shooting up.
No.
They jumped up. Now, there's some speculation. The time this story was written, they were up 7%. But it also probably jumped up because of all this Gearbox Borderlands 3 chatter as well.
Right. Probably helped.
Yeah. What a mess.
A lot of messes this week.
What a mess.
A lot of messes this week, this month, I should say.
So these last two stories are fun, though.
Between magical porn stars and, you know.
She's a fucking magician, Dan.
Okay.
She's not a... Also, he said she's not a sex worker. Like, first off, let's not call anybody that.
No, that's...
You could say porn star, and it's more tasteful than a sex worker.
I wouldn't call a porn star a sex worker.
He did, though.
I know that.
She's not a sex worker. She's a fucking magician. It's like, stop... I don't like the way you describe things, Randy.
Yeah.
I don't like the fucking way you talk, okay?
Right. And she... Technical terms for what she was doing didn't help with the visual any either, Randy.
Extreme turnoff, Randy. Like when you break it down to the clinical level, I don't appreciate that.
Right.
Which tells me he either giving it a thumbs up.
Which here's the thing about that story, which means he either watches a lot of porn to the point where it's become clinical, or he We're watches the truth. None, and he's like a 10-year-old boy who saw his first clip.
I love that he's like, here's what I think happened. It appeared that she climaxed and fluids were released from her body. But she's not a sex worker. She's a fucking magician. It would be like, that's like 2 8-year-olds talking to each other.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't like it. I don't like it
exactly.
At all.
Exactly.
We're going to go to a fun place, though. This next story, there are 2 controllers coming out. I've shown you both of them. I just want to know which one you like best. Now, the first contender, for the PS4, we have an Alpine Green DualShock 4 coming out in April for $65. For those who are audio only, which is everybody, it's a forest green color, white tips, white sticks, white buttons, and the back of it is actually white as well.
Yes.
Contender number 2 is what Microsoft is referring to, part of the Phantom series, and it's a Phantom White Special Edition controller. It's priced at $70, coming in a little bit higher, and is only available right now through Microsoft Store, making it a little harder to get. It is a white that fades up to a clear with gray sticks and white buttons, and it's the same on the back.
Yes.
So what I want from you and from producer Gerald is if we're buying one of these controllers, which one is it?
Well, so basically I could have either of these colors in either controller of my choice is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, crown a winner of these two. If I gave you the money to buy one or the other, and you equally love those systems, and you equally played those systems, which controller do you buy?
I got to go with the Phantom White.
Yeah, Gerald went there too. I'll tell you, that's my pick as well. This green controller, I actually think is pretty ugly.
Do you? See, I like it, but I like the Phantom White better.
That Phantom White blends what I'm going to call like...
It's very sci-fi.
But it's like, it's also fancy?
Yeah.
It's like fancy sci-fi?
Yeah, it's like... like rich people sci-fi, like, you know, in the sci-fi movies, you have like the where the dregs of society live, and then up in the special place, all the rich people who get all the good stuff.
It's got a modern look to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't like sci-fi, but somehow I feel like I could have that controller and somebody could walk in and be like, that controller is kind of sci-fi. And I could be like, no, it's just fancy. And they'd be like, you're right.
Yeah. It looks
that
good.
Green controller looks like somebody was making a controller on like the design labs for Xbox, and they forgot to click on the back.
See, I like the green one too.
I wish it was all green. I don't like the white.
I do. I like that green that pops.
I like that name, Alpine. Alpine's a good name for a controller color.
Looks like a New York Jets. New York Jets.
It controller. Does look like a Jets controller. It does. If it had a Jets logo, can you get Adam Sandler off there? I'm about to puke. He's too much movement.
Who, Adam?
Yes, it's Adam Sandler. There's too much movement. Now he's closed out the controller window. That Phantom White looks good.
Yeah, the Phantom White looks really good. And I like how it fades up to the...
to the clear.
It almost looks like it's like a robot.
That clear is like an early to late 2000s move where everything had to be clear. You see the insides of how my thing works.
Yep.
Remember the Emacs you could see through?
Remember the Afterglows?
Yeah, they came in fun colors like boysenberry. I had an Emac that was in boysenberry. He's got Sasquatch pulled up now.
Yeah, what's up with this? Maybe that was a Sasquatch earlier, not a monkey.
Oh, yeah. That makes more sense. It looked just like a monkey. but Sasquatch does have a mustache. Yeah,
see, that
he's
makes
a Sasquatch.
More sense. Yeah, it was.
Anyways, I agree. Check out both these controllers, though. Like I said, the Alpine is going to be much easier to acquire. It should be everywhere in April. That special edition Microsoft one's only available through Microsoft stores, and it's $70, but you can pre-order it now.
Mm-hmm. You can pre-order the Alpine Green one, too.
Get all pre-ordery. I like controller colors.
I do, too. And I like that one. I do like the green.
Alpine Green.
That's a good color.
If you notice, the little arrows beside the D-pad on the Alpine Green are kind of gold, too.
Yeah.
It's not a, I don't know. Somehow I look at that and I'm like, hey, that controller will get dirty. But then I look at that all white one and I don't have that same thought. So I don't really know what my head's doing.
They'll both get dirty.
Yeah. I don't play with Cheeto hands or anything.
No, I don't either, but they're still going to. you know, things will happen.
Yeah. Let's jump over to shout outs. Remember, if you want a shout out, head over to patreon.com/GameStitch and support us over there at the $10 tier or higher, and you get a proper shout out each week. Just like always, if you don't supply us with a shout out, we'll supply one for you because we're not taking away your time.
Exactly.
I don't believe that bright green controller right there is official, but I do like that.
Mm-hmm. That looks good.
Yeah, that's a skin, a controller skin. Now, I have that. I have the berry one. Look how good that berry looks with the maroon and the...
There's that Phantom White.
That's just a clear PS4. Yeah, I have that, and I love that controller.
Yeah, you like that one?
Yeah, that controller fucking looks good. That's a good... I want to get that Denver Broncos one, too. That orange and blue one.
Yeah.
I want to get that one, too. They should just make NFL team controllers, now that I think about it. Because they have a lot of good colors.
Yeah, some of them do.
Look at that Galaxy
imagine edition. Imagine a Dolphins one.
Imagine the Seahawks.
Ooh.
Because they like to get wild.
So, anyways,
proper shout-outs. Two shout-outs this week. Thomas sent me a shout-out. He says three games to be on the lookout for. Hightail, which he told me is like a... So it's dedicated Minecraft players who have now created their own game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Hytale.
Hightail?
Yeah, Hightail. It's got a cool look. You can definitely tell it's in the vein of Minecraft. But it seems like they're just going above and beyond. So it's interesting to see what'll happen with this. Outward is one of the other ones he sent me, which is an RPG that is...
I'm into this one.
Yeah, and he is all into this one. They're making a lot of hefty promises, and people are very excited about this game. I would say be cautiously optimistic, because I think it's coming out at $39.
Right.
It's being made by a very small team.
But it looks like it's going to be super...
It looks cool.
Super cool.
He sent me a couple of videos on it, and the other one is No Man's Sky. So...
Jump back into that.
And then he asked a question that took us down a rabbit hole last night when I was chatting with him. He said, okay. I never got to be a part of PlayStation Home. What was it?
Oh, shit.
And I went on like a 45-minute, full-scale, like historian-style production about what PlayStation Home was. And he got fired up about being a part of PlayStation Home.
He wanted to be it?
Yes.
He wanted in. Yeah, it was basically a... It was like a PlayStation's version of a...
Second Life.
And
it was good.
It was real good. It was a social space. You could watch movies. You could play games.
You talk about before its time.
Way before its time.
He said, what kind of things you could do? And I said, you could walk outside. He didn't say it like an idiot. I don't know why I said it like that. He said, what kind of things can you do? And I said, you could do? You could walk out of your apartment, which you decorated with whatever you wanted to look like yours, meet a stranger in the street, ask them to accompany you to the bowling alley where you could then bowl a full fucking game with them.
Yes. Or play some classic video games. Ping pong a thing? Or was it billiards?
Pool.
There was a billiards.
Yeah, pool. Or billiards if you're fancy.
I am fancy because I'm getting me that Phantom White controller.
Yeah, we're playing snooker in there. I had like a log cabin on a lake that had arcade machines, and people could come over and play arcade machines and set high scores on your machines.
Yeah,
I had like a downtown apartment. It was just cool. It was silly and cool, and there were quests you could do, and there were areas that pertained to certain games, and so
you could do certain quests to get certain clothes for your
avatar. You could unlock a shirt by doing something in a video game. Subway, I remember I had that $5 footlong shirt on for a long time.
Yep.
But it just reminded me that we've talked a lot about PlayStation Home and maybe never actually described what PlayStation Home was.
Yeah, it was basically a social space for your avatars within the PlayStation universe.
Right, so if you're an Xbox user, think avatars, but that looked real and that you could control.
Yes.
The Sims meets Second
Life. They looked
life.
Very Simsy, yeah.
Yeah. Gerald in love with it, just putting up hearts and smileys and thumbs up. And it was rotten with microtransactions, which I was fine with. Because you didn't have to spend money. What'd you say?
Did you buy stuff?
I don't know if I bought anything. I think that was the year I went to E3 and no one was at the PlayStation Home booth. And when I went up there, they gave me a card that gave you $180 worth of stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like the biggest one-time transaction I think I've ever done from the PlayStation store. Like, you put the code in and it scrolled down forever. It was like 90 items that you got.
Nice.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I love PlayStation Home. I'm sad that it went away. I'm sure it took a ton of resources and a big team to keep it going, but it was fucking rad.
It was fun. It was a fun time.
And it should come back, and I would love if it came back and they somehow kept the things you had, but I'm sure it'll never, ever come back.
No, that won't happen. They might bring it back at some point, but you're not going to have your stuff.
I don't think it'll ever even come back, but it was fucking cool. And you know, there was talk that they were going to do a trophy room where you could actually see your platinums, and it just, I don't know, it was just a cool tie-in. Yeah. Like I said, you could, this is just an example, but let's say, like, I think Resistance Burning Skies had like a mini game and you played it and you unlocked stuff, Resistance mm-hmm. stuff for your house and for your, you know, you could get like, that's the thing. It's a Little Big Planet. You could do things. There's a Little Big Planet mini game and you could unlock like a Sackboy statue for your house. It was just fucking cool, man.
You could get Drake stuff.
Yeah. And a lot of it was timed and I don't know. It was just cool. I miss PlayStation Home.
Yeah, and if you think of a GTA 5, think of the apartments there, and then multiply those by like 150.
Yeah, you could go, like, there was like Roco races you could go bet on, and like, I don't know, it was just fucking crazy. It was cool. You should check out some videos for PlayStation Home if you've never seen it. And it was
crazy cool.
It should come back. So that's his shout out. Is that PlayStation Home sounded cool, and also check out Hyrule Outward and No Man's Sky.
Check out these games.
Yeah. Check them out.
Chica-chica.
Check it out. Now, our second shout-out is for Zach Wimbush. I don't think he provided a proper shout-out, but the letter he sent us last week was substantial.
There was a lot going on there. That's
so true. We're not going to share his personal information. We don't know what he wanted public or private from that letter. But I just want to say, Zach sounds like a cool guy, and I'd like to play games with him. So let me know what you play and what system you play on, and let's see if we can hook up and play something.
I think he told us on there.
Yeah, he did, but I don't know if he properly said if he even plays multiplayer.
Gotcha. I don't think so either.
And maybe.
Yeah, what I like about, let me tell you something I like about from Zach's letter and from seeing some of his tweets and stuff. You know what I like about Zach is, and I don't know if this is true, but he at least gives off the appearance that he has his shit together.
Yes.
Which I always appreciate.
He sent us like
don't get me wrong. It could be it could be a complete facade.
Right. He sent us a long memorandum. A manifest.
Oh, no. It wasn't. Don't use that
He sent us a very long manifest. And
don't use manifest.
He then told us later that he wrote it on a cell phone.
Which takes dedication.
Which is even more impressive, yeah. Because I have never sent an email that long from a cell phone, so I was very impressed. And I'm just very impressed with Zach as a human. He does seem to very much have his shit together.
Yes, which I can always appreciate in all people.
Yeah. And he very well may not, but kudos for him for giving the appearance.
But he's pulling it off if he's just faking it.
So. Some people can't even pull off the appearance that they have it together.
Right, exactly.
So he's I'm a big fan. Gerald's also excited because he gave him a proper shout out.
Yes.
I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Gerald had a hello image when he started, and he has a goodbye image too ready. Mm. He's really stepping his game up over there.
I like that. I like that. Way to earn your money, Gerald. That's what I appreciate about you.
Checks in the mail.
Finally. Only took 2 months.
remember, shout out patreon.com/GameStitch. We love each and everyone, even the patrons that aren't at the shout out tier and even the people that don't ever give us anything. We love you.
Yes, we do.
Gerald only likes the one that gives us money, but we like everybody.
Yes.
Now he's doing a sad face. You've hurt his feelings.
It happens. He'll get over it.
What a dick. Follow us on the social media.
Why is Gerald the dick?
No, you're the dick.
Oh.
For hurting Gerald's feelings. Now he's happy again.
And what's his free thing, though? That got fucking nowhere.
What's the winky emoji with the tongue out?
The smiley faces, the love, the goofy face, the kiss, the bucktooth, dude. I don't know
if
that is.
If you stuck your tongue out like that and winked with one eye, you would be a psychopath. Because that's not like a, that's tongue all the way out.
I don't think you can even do it.
You shouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's like the pervy. That's like the I'm a pervert.
That's like, yeah, cool. If I lick your ass, that's what that face says. With or without your permission.
And that one there is one that's getting ready to answer the question with the big gritted teeth.
That's the one it's happening to, yeah. You can follow us on the social medias. I am at Podcast Ryan. Dan is at Shirtless Dan. Gerald is at Hoffin Show. Together we are at Game_Stitch. And yeah, it was a good show, I think. We got some gluten talk in.
Yeah, I think we did well. What's that?
We got some gluten talk.
We did get some gluten talk. We got
right off the rip, yeah, we got some gluten talk. We got some, what else did we talk about?
Some Rubens.
Or non-Rubens.
Or non-Rubens.
Shepherd's pie or non-shepherd's
pie. Or non-shepherd's pie.
You hit on the holiday right out of the gate, so that was a good bring up.
The Suzuki Samurai.
Oh, forgot about Suzuki talk.
Suzuki talk and Geo talk.
Welcome to the non-Jeep cast.
That's right.
With Dan and Ryan.
The non-Jeep cast.
Yeah, Jeep. I just want to say that. What if we just called it Jeep?
Jeep. That's aren't those things on fucking Sesame Street?
I don't know, but do you remember Jeepers Creepers?
That had the big long faces, the aliens, and the I was always like, Jeep. Aren't those Sesame Street characters?
Put in Jeep and see what we get.
Jeep.
He's got the Jeep
Not
Edge
Jeep
pulled up.
Eagle.
This is what happens with Google. You're like, oh, did you mean this?
Right.
And Jeep just pulls up more pictures of Jeeps.
It just pulls up more pictures
what
of Jeeps.
What about Jeep Sesame? Jeeps. Which sounds like you're having a stroke.
Jeep Sesame.
Jeep Sesame?
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, let's get you to the hospital. No, I think you're calling that the wrong thing because I'm only seeing Bert and Ernie and Elmo.
Jeep.
For some reason, when I think Elmo, I almost do an Elmo impression, but I don't know what Elmo sounds like. But in my mind, I always want to do it.
Do it.
No, because I don't know what Elmo. No, I'm good.
He's got that super high pitched voice.
Yeah, super high pitched. What's that blue thing? What's that blue thing?
He's always like, oh, Elmo is sad.
I think that's a good Elmo. That was a good Elmo.
How do you know? You don't even know what he sounds like.
Because that's in my head, that's what he sounds like. I always almost do it, and I'm like, I actually know what Elmo sounds like. I didn't watch a lot of Sesame Street growing up. I watched a lot of Mr. Rogers, a lot of Lamb Chop, some Barney, but not a lot of Sesame Street.
Missed out, bro.
What's Sesame Place? Something different. Now, Bert and Ernie recently revealed that they are lovers.
I heard that.
Yeah. So we won't get into the ins and outs of that, but just making you aware. They sleep in separate beds, though.
Mm-hmm.
Much like my grandparents did. That's a fun fact for you. Bert and Ernie are like my grandparents.
All right. That's not weird at all. It does explain some things, but...
thanks to everybody who listens. Thanks to everyone who supports us and has supported us for the many years that we've been doing this. Thanks to producer Gerald for taking time out of his day to pull up Sesame Street pictures for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's it. It's all the thank yous I have. I just ran out.
It's game over.
Sourdough, thanks for being a bread.
Ooh, appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for being my favorite.
Oh, there they are. There they are. Go back down. Scroll back up. There's those alien things.
Oh, the top left?
Yeah.
What does it say they're called? Oh, Yip Yip.
It's Yip Yip, not Jeep. Sorry.
I see what you did there. You branded it.
I did. Yeah, remember I guess it is.
Remember the Isuzu Rodeo?
Yeah, it's garbage.
And they had that commercial that was like a slinky.
What yeah.
Goes downstairs, a loner in pairs. It's good. My friend had a Rodeo.
I've never been an Isuzu guy.
My friend had a Rodeo, and it was a piece of shit.
And it was the Trooper, the Isuzu Trooper.
What a generic-ass looking SUV that is, the Rodeo.
And they had a pickup. They had a pickup. I can't remember what this was, because remember it was, who was the guy that was big at the time that, he was like a lying guy or something, and all he did was... talk about how great the Suzu pickup was.
I don't know. People like to slam these rodeos, though, apparently.
Yeah.
I like to knock the bottom out of it, as people from where I'm from would say.
Knock the bottom out. That's something different.
That doesn't look nearly as nice as the Suzuki's. Well,
where I come from, that's something different. Knocking the bottom out.
So people used to have the little mini trucks.
Look up the Isuzu pickup truck.
People used to have the little mini trucks around here, and they would put, I'd rather knock the bottom out of it than try to get it up, because the country boys would raise their trucks up.
Mm.
So there was like a feud between the mini trucks and the big trucks.
Yeah. The little S10 Extremes.
Yeah, those guys. The little Mazdas. They would drop those little Mazda trucks.
Yeah, B3000s.
Yeah. That truck looks like crap. I hate those chrome guards on the fender.
Yeah?
That one's got three wheels in the back. What's that truck called? What's the Isuzu truck called? Does it not have a name?
I don't know. He's got a Isuzu lowrider. Just put in a Isuzu pickup.
Stop looking at fancy customized ones.
I know. Jeez.
Can I get an Edmunds image? This is a long silent pause. People don't like that on a show.
I know. Not at all.
Go to images now.
No, look up a Isuzu pickup truck, because Isuzu still makes big box cargo vans and cargo trucks.
Ooh, I like those. The ones that you haul like toxic waste or bombs in on the TV shows.
I can't remember what they were called, though.
Just go to images. I think you'll find one. D-Max. Is that it?
No, that's one of their big boys. They haven't made trucks in like 20 years, pickups. So.
I don't know. Shout out to Isuzu for, they still exist as a company besides anything but those box trucks?
I don't know.
That one looks like a Tundra.
I don't know. Yeah, that's because it's not an Isuzu.
It's a Honda Insight. Yeah, it's just a bunch of cars that aren't Isuzus.
Yeah, it's like an auction site.
Yeah. That's going to do it for us. Episode 322 in the books. We're going to be back next week. Same time, same place, different clothes.
Yes.
Or maybe the same clothes.
I might be in the same clothes.
I won't remember what I wore last Sunday.
But it'll only be the same clothes because it's what I put on after I wash it. It won't be like I'm in the same clothes
a week later.
Right.
That'd be unacceptable.
Well, I don't know about
unacceptable. Oh, there you go.
There it is.
It's just a regular cab pickup. It doesn't even have a name.
It's just ugly.
That truck's so generic, they didn't even name it.
No.
Like, what model is that? It's a Suzuki truck.
Those old Toyota trucks were nice.
People love those old things. I tell you what, I like a new Tacoma now.
Do you like the new Tacoma?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It comes
nice.
In this, like, concrete color.
Uh-huh. Like gunmetal gray or whatever.
It's like even lighter than that. It's like it's super fucking nice. It looks like poured concrete, but smooth and shiny. It's an old school Ford Lightning there.
Oh,
I wanted one of
those
bad growing up, but I look at them now and I think they look shitty.
Yeah, everybody wanted one of those.
They didn't hold up.
No,
didn't hold up at all. They were bad to the bone though.
The Lightning.
Yeah, let us know about your favorite childhood car growing up. Here on CarCast. That's for sure a thing. Classic CarCast.
Yep. Yes, it is. I know somebody's got one.
All right, we're going to go, because if not, we'll keep looking at pictures of old cars.
Uh-huh.
Good night.
Good night.
You like how I held that one out?
I did.